Okay.
Are they going to be, like, knocking on the door?
Maybe. That's okay. That's, we like that about this. It's like an Instagram story. It's messy. The whole thing.
Oh, that's really good.
So, welcome to, I think this might be the fifth episode of the Cheerfully Maine podcast. And I'm here still in Toronto. I'm here for the Etsy Summit with all my Canadian Etsy team captains. I just finished speaking with Kim Roach, design, who you should check out in the previous episode. And I was originally going to talk to Suzanne Scott of the Village Pottery and at the Potter's Daughter with Kim. But we just went a little long, and so I thought Suzanne could have her own podcast.
Lucky me.
We've just discussed... I'm just going to move the microphone here. We may be interrupted by a few people, but that's okay. We've just discussed that Suzanne has tried... How many? 2,000 some different craft beers?
I'm a craft beer fan. I am. Yeah. And... it's great.
Yeah, that's great.
So we're tasting one now as we chat.
What is it? It looks like it was going to be grape punch or something.
It's called Funky Monks, and it's a sour Belgian.
Pittsburgh? It's yummy.
9%.
I think I like 9%.
Oh, my God.
Woo! Okay. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. So Suzanne is... I'm just taking advantage of being here in Toronto with people... creative people from all across Canada who have become friends over the last 5 years that we've been doing Etsy Maine Canada. And so I would be remiss if I didn't speak with one of my favorite girls, Suzanne. Suzanne owns the Village Potter Village Pottery. On PEI. I always want to say in PEI, but it's on PEI. And she also is at the Farmer's Daughter on
The Potter's.
I was thinking,
I do live on a farm in the summer.
The Farmer's Daughter is another craft beer that I enjoy by Whitewater Brewing. I know. I should have brought you some stuff from Ontario. So we were just talking about, there's lots of things we could talk about with Suzanne, because she is a business owner, and also she just took over her parents' business, but that's boring. Just kidding. So we
have a doorbell.
We have a doorbell? There might be a little interlude here, but we don't edit anything, so we just keep going. And we thought that we would talk mostly about our experience actually with Etsy. So, the girls, the Kitchener-Waterloo girls are here. Oh, you did mean romper. We thought you meant robe.
It's a very comfy looking romper, too.
I'm not getting out of it. I'm like,
oh, are you doing your interview? Yeah, we're doing your interview. Hi. Good. And we don't edit anything. So you guys are welcome. Your hair looks amazing.
You look really comfy.
Did you go and say, like, give me the Emily Arbor?
I donated. So good. I had, like, 11. I think I got to, like, 11.
Really? Yeah, your hair looks amazing. So, Aaron and Jess are here from Kitchener Waterloo.
Can you put this behind? Oh, we're still on. Behind that card, there's another one.
I feel like this episode in particular is probably going to get 5 stars.
Out of 5,
yeah. Or none. So I'll talk to you guys after. You guys, whatever. You can chime in. You can totally chime in and we can do a separate one. Mm-hmm. Okay, then just be quiet.
Come to my hotel room and be quiet with your wine and your cheerful presence.
Seriously, chime in. Okay, so, because we're going to, what we're talking about with, I'm not kidding, you can talk. Go ahead.
Yeah. I'm just here for the drinks.
So, we are actually talking about our experience with the Etsy Summit. So, right. Suzanne, were you guys first year? Were you there the first year? Second year.
Third year.
God, I feel like I've known you guys forever. But so Suzanne and I met the first year, and like, so just tell me where you,
me
neither. We look the same.
But I feel like we're staying, are we not staying in the same hotel we stayed the first time?
No.
I think we are.
Really?
Yes. And we're doing karaoke, which apparently a lot of people did karaoke the first night. We were not there. We were doing something else. But I feel like there is a big throwback thing happening to the first year.
Maybe.
And I just can't believe that it's been 5 years. Like, that's just
crazy. I'm speculating. And we can give an update on this tomorrow or after it's all over. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if this is the last year. Is anyone else thinking that?
I feel very thankful that we still get to do this.
Me too.
And I think that it's really important.
I don't want it to be the last year. Don't get me wrong.
I think it might be getting close to that, but I also think they're upping numbers still. I feel like before the last year happens, it will, like, go more of an elite group or more of, like, a mastermind summit or something. I feel like
sometimes it gets real big and then they're like, okay, now you have the tools, you can do it.
Right.
And well, that's what I was thinking, is they'd be like, okay, here's how you can move forward using our brand, but... we're not going to do this summit anymore because all of a sudden we got to share rooms and stuff, right? Yeah. I don't. Not me.
Okay. Things have definitely changed over the years. Yeah. But,
so,
yeah, it could
happen. So let's, what were you doing when, like, when you first got invited to do summit and how did that play out? Like, where were you at? We don't need to get into your personal life because that could be a whole other
So, 2013. Okay. Yeah. It was like, you know, I had received a message from Susanna Rutherford, who created the Etsy Artisans of PEI team. And I don't know what led her to create it, but I think she just thought, okay, let's get like a regional team going. But she realized she was going to get into nursing, so had to pass it off. And so she sent the message to me, and then I got this message from the Etsy headquarters, and like, I thought it was fake, you know? Yeah. Like, I thought it was a spam message, like, yes, please come to Etsy headquarters. Like, you gotta be kidding me. And it took me a while. I think I brushed it aside for a while. And then I talked over with some people. And they're like, no. And I was getting pretty busy at this time. Like, I was starting to get into making pottery and running the shop. And, like, how... I don't even know what they expect from me.
So you had an Etsy shop at the time. That's why you were...
Yes.
And so did this Suzanne know about the opportunity to come to the summit? Or she just was passing off the team... to you at the coincidental time.
She knew about the summit and she didn't want to do it. So I had this opportune moment that like, okay, I'm gonna seize it, I'm gonna go. I'm one of those people that like have a lot juggling, and when I like, and when I focus on something, I focus on it when it's happening, but until that moment I usually don't focus on it. So I don't even really, I didn't know what I was coming here for. I knew it was like a meeting of the Etsy people, but I didn't realize I was going to have to plan an event.
I don't remember if any of us knew that.
Okay, they made it vague, so I'm not alone.
I don't remember. I have a horrible memory, but I feel like... no, I feel like it was more about being ambassadors for your region.
Yeah.
But I don't really remember. I don't even think I paid attention. I was like, yes.
You were a speaker, though.
Yeah, I don't really remember.
Like, that's how I was like, I want to be your friend.
I don't even really remember that.
That's so right.
I don't remember, but apparently I ran the whole thing.
You're right.
Apparently I was a really key, I was the keynote speaker.
You kind of were.
No, it was very like, I feel like it was just right place, right time. I don't remember, Jess, how did it happen for you? Like, how did you know about doing the...
I was invited to first year summit, except... I just had Beckett.
Oh.
And so I was like,
how did they find you then, do you think?
I got asked by the Small Business Center to do an Etsy talk at the market. It was my very first, and Aaron and Nada came in, and they did it with me. Wow. They, like, introduced Etsy to this, like, little work. It was, like, maybe
they were like, this girl's
people.
Saying all the wrong things. We better teach her about Etsy.
No! That's now.
Yeah.
No. They, like, so they just came in, and they, like, did a little presentation about Etsy, and then I talked about my story on Etsy and what I was doing on Etsy. I wasn't running a team at that point. Well, maybe I was running...
I feel like you're one of the bigger sellers. Is she?
I was running a team.
She sells a lot.
I was at one point. Was running a team, but I wasn't doing workshops, but they asked me to. And then after the workshop, they were like, so come to Summit, because it was like a few months out, and I was like, oh, that sounds so good.
Were you planning shows?
No.
So it was your
and
first
so
show.
They were like, and so once Summit ended, they were like, so we know you couldn't make it to Summit, but would you want to do Made in Canada? And so I did.
You did a show without
Canada
going
that
to
year
Summit.
Without going to Summit.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then after that, I came.
I think the first year I was the only one who had ever done shows. I was the opposite because, and that's why I spoke.
Jacqueline probably did.
Jacqueline
and
Hunter.
And so then you opened
Oh,
that
yes.
Etsy
Jacqueline
shop.
Already did. And so, but she also had an Etsy, did she have an Etsy shop, or does she?
No,
she still doesn't?
She doesn't.
So, yeah, because I opened my Etsy shop after becoming a team captain because, well, in order to, like, I actually didn't even have a team.
Right.
I still don't have a team. But I
all the loopholes.
I know. So, do whatever you want, and then, yeah.
But I think you were a valuable addition because you opened my eyes up to it being, like,
business.
A potential business.
I feel like there were some really rough years there where
like
it was, like, very taboo to talk
about
making any money.
Yeah. I feel like last year was, like, a breakthrough for that, I think. Last year, there was, like, with Misha, there were, like, talks about how to make money running shows. And everyone was like, oh, I can't go over there because what if my team thinks I'm part of that and I want to make money? I'm like,
that's why I don't have a team.
You were, and you were part of this thing. Like, why would you?
Yeah.
No, but then months.
There's lots of people who, like, volunteer all the time, and they feel like it's a really great thing to pull the community together. And
you don't volunteer
our team
time.
Is, like, we enjoy that part, and, like, we're happy that we can motivate people and help people and give them exposure and, you know, bring the community out to see Etsy sellers. But we are in Etsy Waterloo region as, like, that's business mindset for us.
Yeah. So this is Suzanne's.
Sorry.
I'm just kidding.
Chime in, but don't. And
you can talk, but don't.
Just kidding. I'm totally kidding. It's just the humor part. It's I have to add the humor. So you came, and we had a lot of fun that first year, but it was also, like, very crapshooty. Like, nobody really knew. We sort of, I think we all worked together on how, the concept and how it played out.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, for people who don't know, and I did, I think I've said it before, but maybe you're not subscribing to the podcast, hearing everything. I'm trying to talk like it's a real deal. Etsy Made in Canada is an event put on by Etsy team captains all across Canada on the same day. Generally, this year we're doing a spring show that's a little bit different, but so we get together once a year to talk about how we're basically going to put together the same product, the same craft show, or similar, mm-hmm. all across Canada. And sort of, we are left to our own. We're given a small bursary, and we're able to use the Etsy brand, but then we are basically left to our own devices.
Yeah.
I was going to say defenses. Devices.
That too.
But what has come of it is that when people started to make money off it by selling tables or entrance fees, we now have, like, a charitable component because we are using Etsy's brand. It totally makes sense.
Absolutely.
I really screwed up the first year because I made, like, a ton of money on the first show, and I came back and I was like, guys,
I just made so much money doing this show.
And I was so, like, I've always been transparent. And that's something that they talk about all the time. It's like, as long as you're transparent, right? And so, I mean, maybe it was too transparent. I got too excited. And then all of a sudden they're like, the next year was like, you can't make any money. I made $0 the next year. Well, not zero, but I didn't make any door fee. And then
door fee.
Yeah.
What's a door fee?
We don't do it.
You don't. It depends on your region, probably. But
yeah. And now that we've done it, we feel like
you probably could. Hard. You probably could now.
Yeah.
It would change things.
And then the year after that, I remember going back and being like, okay, that felt really good to donate all that money to charity, but I feel like there's a happy medium where we could maybe do.
Yeah.
I mean, we do 50%.
It's always so fun for us to, like, come up with a new charity.
Yeah.
Of, like, okay, what time of year is it? Okay, it's Christmas. Food bank's gonna need a big injection. So we always, like, for a while we did give a lot to the food bank, and that was always one of the best days for me. Like, just getting to go and deliver it, and the people are just freaking pumped.
Oh my
so
god!
Happy.
There's no feeling like giving that much stuff.
Yeah, and then
you did such
a big
bag last year for us.
Yeah, so tying into the last podcast, episode 4, if everyone's
if you want to go
following in order,
I think you should. We did touch on the sleeping bag project by Kim Roach and Rich Peters. We were able to, meet their goal with our Etsy holiday market. And it was just such a fun thing because I think we'd already committed a certain amount, and then they were selling raffle tickets at a booth throughout the weekend, and Rachel had just kind of been tallying up the raffle ticket income and was putting it into, like, a GoFundMe or a Kickstarter or one of those things. And she's putting it in, and I saw that it was, like, $380 away from the goal.
Yeah.
And I hadn't, you know, calculated all the door stuff yet, but I was pretty confident we were going to have that. So I was like, we're doing it. And she just, like, are you serious? I'm like, she goes in and just enters it, and you see, like,
oh my
you
God.
Know, and
oh,
we just cried, and it was an amazing moment that we got to do that. And,
that's awesome.
You know, and it's just benefited so many kids on PEI. It's insane.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I guess, like, I never really thought I would get into doing these events and where it would lead me.
What were you doing? Were you just potting?
Yeah, I was
I was
working at a bar or dancing.
So basically, I guess my history, I grew up in the pottery shop. I worked there until I could legally be a server and make tips because I really wanted to do that and get away from the pottery shop. So from like 19 to, we'll say 27, 28, I was just off doing my thing.
Yeah.
I went to school for business tourism with like event management. So my goal was really to like run a resort in someplace warm that wasn't Canada.
Oh, really? It was never... I thought when you said that, I was like, oh, she's thinking like a tourism province. Yeah.
No, I really wanted to get away. But then, yeah, I came back to PEI for my brother's wedding, and one thing kind of led to another. I saw that my family's business just kind of needed a little injection of, like, an online presence.
Yeah.
And so that's where I started, and... started making pottery, and now 8 years later,
Do you feel like being part of the Etsy Team Captains group, or like having done that Etsy summit, sort of changed the trajectory of where you were going? Like, if you had never, are events a big part of your life now? Like, is the Etsy show?
Yeah, that's like, a good question. I think it maybe propelled me into being more of a leader, and you know, you have to learn how to be a boss, and like that's something that I never really expected to be doing. And you know, I think the Etsy markets got me into that path.
Yeah.
And maybe that helped me realize, okay, I can run this business now.
What about as far as like planting roots on PEI, more like, you know, the more ingrained you are in the community, like maybe the, are you going to stay on PEI now?
Yeah. I think I'm.
Or do you still want to leave?
I think I'm in. I'm locked in.
Yeah.
But, you know, I bought like my grandparents' heritage house, and that's been like something that I've kind of been working at picking away at, and then I do the shows, so 3 a year, but and then the shop's open from May until October, and then I have like a stint where I just make a ton of pottery, like I don't see anybody for like 2 months.
Do you do that like before your season kind of thing, like in your off season? No. You make a lot, or you do it during the season?
So like my life is super cyclical, like I basically, we talked about this in the last podcast, just coming off of a, you know, relaxing / part-time working holiday vacation in Barbados, and then went to a conference, and now I'm here.
How do you work in Barbados? What do you mean by that?
I basically...
Clarify. We'd all like to know your model.
So, would you like to know a day in the life of me in Barbados?
Yeah, I would. Totally.
Well, I usually just sleep in until, I get up at a reasonable time. I don't set an alarm, but I still wake up. My body still wakes up at like 8, you know.
Yeah, okay.
8:15. It's hot, it's sunny, so I'll have a little coffee, I'll sit on the deck, I'll do some yoga.
Sounds amazing.
And then I just open up my laptop, and I can answer emails.
So it's like your marketing communication stuff.
Yeah, and planning the Etsy market. So, like, I did all my call for vendors and then reviewing the applications.
Oh, yeah. That's great.
Accepting the payments. And so that's kind of what I've been working on the last little while. I'm also starting a new business. That
are you?
I may...
Are you going to share?
I may share.
Or no? Okay, you don't have to share. I feel this is sort of what happened with Kim's thing, though. I feel like maybe you're, you know, we started with the topic of you and I talking about the Etsy Summit and Etsy shows and stuff, but I feel like what you're really good at, and maybe you disagree or agree, I don't know, is like that work-life balance. Like, I kind of like the way, I mean, in theory, I don't live that life, so I don't know, but I like the idea of really like working crazy hard for a short amount of time, because I think we're all similar in that way, where it's like when it's showtime, it's like we shine, we're good, like I'm happy, I'm tired and I'm busy and I'm stressed, but I'm still happy. And then the big reward of like a really like unplugged time.
Yes.
And I feel like that's something that, yeah, I would like to take like a little piece of that from my relationship with you.
Yeah.
And like figure out how I could do that, because I think about that all the time as I'm like trying to decide, you know, what path to go down. It's just like, I'm reading this really great book right now called Will It Fly. I'm like obsessed, obviously, with passive income. I've been talking about that a lot. And there's this guy, Pat Flynn, who has this podcast called Smart Passive Income. And he has a book called Will It Fly. And it's always like, it's like, where do you want to be in 5 years? Not 1 year, not 10 years. Where do you want to be in 5 years? You know, And in 5 years, I want you to answer the question, like, how are you? And I want you to say, like, I'm so good. I'm so happy. I'm so good. Okay, so take that and it's like, why did you answer it like that? What does that mean for, like, what is your family life like? What is your professional life like? And if the things that you're doing now are not going to get you to that point, then... Mm-hmm. But I still don't do those things. I still, like, keep adding to my plate and then the years go by... And I can't even believe that it's been 5 years that we've been doing this. I can't believe I've been, like, married for over 10 years. Like, what?
Time flies.
Like, I feel old. I look in the mirror and I'm like, oh, my God, you should have done this. What are you going to say in 5 years thing 5 years ago?
Well, I think one of the key benefits of being an entrepreneur and being your own boss is getting to, like, set your own schedule. Like, it might mean certain times your schedule is working around the clock and you never get to see anybody. Mm-hmm. But then if you can make some changes, and, like, I had a major life change and that just made me, like, reassess everything. Like, okay, why can't I do this? I've never been happy when it's snowing and cold. Like, my family knows that. Like, as soon as the first snowfall comes, I'm, like, legit crying, like, bald. Like,
but people seem to have to wait for those horrible, like, I want to learn from your mistake and not wait for a horrible life change. No offense, but it's true, right? Like, people are always like, it took my mother passing to realize that I should be living my life, or, you know, it's true though, don't you think? And it's just like, you always think you're going to have more time, you always think you're going to have more energy, you know, but you never know.
You just never know, and that's, I'm all about that. Like, that's why I'm, like, gonna start this new business. Like, I know I'm already tapped out.
Yeah.
I know, like, what this means, but, like, I would regret it if I didn't do it.
Yeah.
So, I just want to live with no regret and carve it out. And anyway, I think, if anybody, like, if you can just shift things around, that's kind of what it's been for me. Mm-hmm. It's, like, I had, you know, the shop open from May until October, and during those months, like, that's where I am. Every day, all day.
Yeah.
And then I do, like, Christmas craft fairs, November, December. And then from January, a little bit of February, I'll make as much pottery as possible.
Yeah.
And then just leave for, like, 6 to 7.
I just really like
that
whole idea.
Weeks.
Don't you?
Yeah. I'm going to do that. And they're, like, I'm not going to lie. Like, there are a lot of moments, like, though, that I'm like, it's not worth it. Like,
we just hear mumbling.
I'm, like, about to lose my
Do you mean
shit.
In January and February? Are those the most intense months
I'd
for you?
Like,
or what is
August,
it?
August, September.
Yeah.
Because the Etsy market comes in, too. And I've already, like, reached my peak of talking to people. And, you know, so August, September is a tough time for me. And, like... And then also, like, right before I leave, I'm, like, about to lose my...
Because you're trying to tie up everything.
Yeah,
probably,
no, it's, but it's now, like, 100%.
Now you're good. I wish this was a YouTube video, because you're, like, so tan. She's wearing the exact same dress
she was
wearing.
I'm
just so mad. Like, she's
a pro speaker.
She's got this
going on. I don't know.
Suzanne is the type of person. This is why I feel like everybody needs one of you in their life, because everywhere she goes, she has a portable Bluetooth speaker.
Bring the party.
She brings the party. And she willy-nilly cracks into her freaking wine fridge in a hotel when she knows it's like a $24 bottle.
My gold hat ready for karaoke.
She's got her gold hat.
Yeah, she does.
Karaoke. We're all going to karaoke tomorrow. I should just take this. I wish this was more portable, this microphone. How good would that be? Horrible.
I don't know. Nobody needs to
Is
that.
Nobody Never as excited need. About this podcast as I am?
Want to get in trouble again.
I'm waiting for
Jessica's just
off.
Like, I didn't know you had a podcast, but I was like, I don't really. I just started one.
Well, I saw it today on Instagram. I was like, oh, she was interviewing for a podcast. And I was like, yeah, I know. I'm
I
like,
heard it.
Oh. I didn't know. Well, I didn't know.
This is it. Breaking news.
Well, here
I am. I was talking about how Emily has a hand in everything. I was telling Justin, like, this girl, she just got it together, but she's literally doing, like, 8 different things.
She does
and
not
really
have it
well.
Together.
And then
no.
I was like, oh, and she has a podcast.
Not really well. See, this is what and Kim and I were talking. It's about I'm very good at marketing, and I show you what you want, what you need to see. You don't see.
No, that's
the
not
scenes.
True. You're
that's
raw.
Why this is
you're just
audio
as transparent.
Only.
I mean, your stories are
just a riot.
You're
when I get trouble from strangers telling me that I'm a bad parent for making fun of my kids on Instagram and things.
Oh my god.
I know, right? That's just fame. That's because I'm famous.
Oh my god.
You have to take.
I love when your kids are on Instagram.
Okay, so, well, here I am in, like, handmade Mecca. Everybody's, like, you know, everybody's from all over Canada, all the pros. I'm going to talk to you girls next.
I'm not
Get ready. gotta get another bottle of wine.
Three drinks in.
I only had one. Okay. Let's focus.
Where are we at now?
So what is the future? Well, you're being very elusive about this new job. This new business. That's fine. You don't need to tell us what it is. No, it doesn't matter. I feel you don't want to.
No, I'm ready. I mean, part of my time.
Nobody is listening.
Was to like. Yeah. And you know.
I should leave.
No, not at all. I mean, it's not a big secret. It's nothing too crazy or out there. But like, when I took over the pottery shop, so my parents had like 2 acres of land, and there's like two houses. Like, there's village pottery, and then there's this really cute, like, historic 1805.
Oh my god, I love house. Okay, so much.
And then there's a big parking lot in between. So they've always been renting it out to tourists, and like, I always hated it. You know, I was always like, stupid house. Like, it was always just like, get out. Like,
who are these strangers in my driveway?
Exactly. And then, like, I had a few key moments. Like, when I was thinking about buying the business, and like, okay, do I want Potter's House? It was called Potter's House.
Yeah.
Do I want Potter's House or do I not? For a long time, I did not, because I thought it was just going to add to my headaches.
This just and all then, sounds like, so romantic. Oh, you probably can't hear it, but it's so amazing. Okay, yeah, anyway.
Okay, yes. And then, so last winter, my little winter escape, I went to Cayman Islands, and then I went through Miami for my cousin's stag at. And we went out to this restaurant for dinner, and I walked through, and it was like historic, restored restaurant that looked same layout as Potter's House.
Oh my god.
Just so well decorated, and I just like something went off in my head, like, I could do something similar, you know. It was kind of like that moment when I saw the pottery jewelry, like, I could do this, you know? And so I came back and I started to think, Frig, like, maybe I should take Potter's House too. And then as last summer kind of rolled through into me taking over July 1st, and then we're into peak season, and we're kind of like, I remember just feeling like I need to absorb everything that's happening and think about how I could do it better or how I could roll off of this. And I feel like we had, I don't know if it was because of, like, you know, the celebrations of, like, you know,
Canada 150.
Yeah. There was a lot of kids, a lot of families coming through. And anybody who's listening who is a pottery shop knows that kids are not the most welcome.
Yeah.
They cause headaches. They cause, you know, the moms to be stressed out.
Sure.
Sometimes the husbands, too.
And the husbands. Yeah. So I'm sorry if, you know, kids' husbands, but they are always like, let's get them out of here.
Statistically, you mean. Yeah. Not like every, I'm sure.
So then I just thought,
lots of pottery loving kids and husbands.
There are, and I love those people. They are the best. But yeah, I just basically decided to turn the Potter's House into an ice cream parlor. And
God, that's my dream. No, it's not really, but no. Yes.
And park the Airstream.
That is, yes.
Oh, we can make it a food truck, maybe.
This is why I need passive income, so I can do whatever else I want to do. Would anybody like to buy a store?
Probably. You could probably sell it this weekend.
Totally, I could sell it.
Post on the Facebook.
Oh, no, I will not show you my books, but would you like to buy it? That is amazing. Is it going to be the whole house? Like, how do you make a... Like,
well,
so smart.
So basically there's like one big room when you walk in, and that's going to be the ice cream parlor. So I'll just have like a few seats, but like a lot of picnic tables outside, maybe like some lawn games.
Yeah.
And
oh,
then
yeah.
When you walk to the left, there's like a smaller, but still like a big enough room to have a little shop. So there's these girls who are Etsy sellers who... They started a shop last year.
Do you
want to
buy a franchise?
Kind of a crappy location. Maybe Cheerfully Magic Up. I'm still trying to get the freaking approval from the province. It's been for like 4 months now, so.
And will you rent out the rest as like Airbnb as you were before? Or?
Thinking about it. Like, not this year for sure, but maybe add that on. Like, there's two good rooms upstairs that I could.
That's so smart, because then you take everybody's money. Not just, seriously, though. I mean, like, you've already got those customers coming. Mm-hmm. You might like, let's say, again, like, statistically, the woman might buy a piece of pottery as a memento from her visit to PEI. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, there's no way that husband is not buying ice cream for the kids.
Yeah, and coffee.
Yeah. And coffee.
Just like, and it's
and then and playing games means they can
relax
stay
shopping. More relaxed shopping. Like, it just feels like a no-brainer. We also have it. This is weird to say, but like, so many people wanted to use the washroom in the summer because we're in a rural location, so everyone has driven for like half an hour to get to us.
Sure.
And we don't really have a public accessible one, so it's gonna be great to just be like, go next door. I just can't wait to send them all, and then the people who really want pottery will just.
So, pending approval, it's happening.
Yes, Potter's Parlor.
Potter's Parlor.
You heard it here.
Instagram at Potter's Parlor. I don't know. You should get that handle right now.
It's pretty cute.
Somebody's listening and they're going to buy it and they're going to try to resell it to you for a premium.
Tonight,
yes. You should. That's so cute.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how that links to anything we were talking about, but I like all of it.
Yeah.
And what do you see yourself as, like, well, we started talking about the Etsy Summit and Etsy Link. Do you sell a lot on Etsy or no?
Like on the off season, it's good.
Yeah.
Like January, February. I mean, not a crazy amount.
Yeah. But it keeps you like ticking through the off season. Yeah. And, guys, what else? What should I, they're all looking away. All right. I know. Usually something, a little gem comes to me and I can wrap it up. But, so what do you see, like, so that would be the few, like, do you have employees? Do you plan on always being like continuing with the pottery as like your full-time gig or like in combination? Like,
okay. For sure. Yeah. I mean, it's.
Bye.
I'm
just kidding.
Yeah, I do. Where are you going next year?
Yeah, she is. Yeah, where's your next
one? Oh my god, I have no idea. No. I usually don't know until, like, late summer, like, until I'm, like, ready to go somewhere, so I don't really know. And I usually just kind of look at
I have
sales.
A question. What, so, what? Jessica, say your thing.
To make fun of me.
No, I just want to know, like, so how big is PEI? Like, when you, I just feel like I would love to go to one of your shows someday because I feel like it's probably, I don't know if it's different. Like, is it as big? Like, is it, do you have lots of tourists? Do you have?
I mean.
And is there enough talent on PEI? Like, is there a lot to choose from when you get applications? Is it?
Yeah.
I imagine it's, you deal with a lot of, like, because I'm sure it's a bit of a tight-knit community, like.
Yeah. PEI is an amazing place, like, for creative people, I have to say. Mm-hmm. It's one of the greatest things about it. Like, there's so many musicians and makers. Mm-hmm. So I come from, like, second generation full-on makers. Like, my dad, he taught leather for, like, 20 years at the School of Visual Arts on PEI, which is, it closed in, like, the 70s, or maybe, like, no, sorry, like, 90s, early 90s. He was teaching in, like, the 70s, 80s, and that's kind of where he met my mom.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just kind of created a little hotbed of creative people.
Do you find it hard to, like, do you know a lot of the people personally? Like, how hard is your application acceptance and rejection process? acceptance and wait list.
Yeah. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
So, typically, for 2 out of the 3 shows, we can only take 40-ish, 40 to 50 people, kind of depends. And we might have 80 people apply.
Okay, that's good. So I mean, that's a lot.
They can choose from. And then this next one in the spring, it's like at the biggest convention center on PEI, so we can pretty much take anybody as long as they have an Etsy shop and like
meet
the requirements. So that's really great, but you know, we have, I guess the thing we're struggling with most right now is like we have a lot of newcomers that come to PEI, and they bring with them just interesting dynamics that like perhaps they're just importing products that they haven't even made at all, and
really
they really want in, you know, so it's Kit could probably speak to that too.
Me.
Like, yeah, so we want to encourage, and there's a big organization on PEI called like the Newcomers Association, and they're trying to help them integrate in, and they have just told all of them that like the Etsy markets are what you need to do. So you know, I think
where are they coming from generally?
A lot of like Chinese, a lot of Asian.
Not like Canadian.
No, these
refugees.
Syrian.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, wow. So there's like a big PNP program on PEI, the Provincial Nomination Program, and basically you could partner up with one of these newcomers to get them Canadian citizenship, and they would invest in your company like a significant amount.
Oh wow!
I'm actually kind of bummed I missed out on that. Yeah,
like, super sad about that.
Yeah, right. Like, let's get it going again. But it kind of created this weird thing where all these newcomers were moving to Canada and PEI, realizing there wasn't like a whole lot of opportunity for them, and then just moving to the big cities.
So that's a really weird area, because if you're coming from China and you make your products in China, like, there's so many gray areas with Etsy, because, like, you know, we all think, like, made in China is no, but if you're literally Chinese,
and you're,
like, how does that, you know, like, how do we,
I was going to ask you guys, like, how
what
you
we thought, so, like, and same with, like, India, like, they have beautiful textiles, and some of them are, like, legitimately handmade, it's insane, so are we, like, there are Chinese sellers on Etsy, how do we deal with that, like, for me, it has to be made by that. I've had issues with people being like, what is your definition of handmade? Because that jewelry seller has imported that ear wire, and then they've imported that Swarovski crystal, and then all they've done is put it together. And to me, it's like, it's the vision, it's the design. I don't nitpick about where the actual materials are from, and I don't think Etsy cares about that stuff either. We should all know the answer to that. But so how do you... Yeah, like, what do you do? Mm-hmm. So are they literally importing them, or, like, their uncle is making them?
They're not making it very clear, I'll tell you that. Yeah. Like, I feel like they're kind of giving me the
when you have a... I actually don't do this, because I usually just trust my own judgment, and then I ask more questions if I need to. But do you guys ask about the process of how things are made, always, in the application?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How do you make it? Like, tell us about it. And a lot of the time they won't give a lot of descriptions, so, like, that means reaching out to these people, and we've got, like, hundreds of applications.
I know, it's exhausting. That's a hard one, too, though, because then you're, like, we get asked all the time, like, so how did you make it? So that I can go and make it myself, you know? Like, that's, every maker has their backup about stuff like that, too. But, that's interesting. What do you guys think? Like, if, what, like, are you just agree with, like, with what I... My thoughts on it.
We've had, I can recall at one workshop in Cambridge having someone say, like, my aunt makes these in Indonesia. And she sends them to me.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, you should encourage her to open an Etsy store. Like, yeah, this isn't for you. This isn't idea. Like a resale. That's but a, I think, like, we haven't been no one's tried to pull the wool over our eyes, if someone's being, like, aggressive and trying to convince you that it's
super
like,
vague, super, super vague, and then just turned into super aggressive.
Like, oh, yeah, well, aggressive.
And for me, that's, like, an automatic no. Like, for me, if it's vague and you're not being transparent, it's an automatic no, and I don't need to ask questions, and I'm like, I'm done.
Yeah, I think it's hard because of the association with the newcomers group, an association.
That you want to encourage that?
Well, that they are also kind of putting it on, like, they really need to do this.
Oh, so, like for the income?
Yeah. And I'm like, there's so many other shows on PEI, though. But then even with this guy from Iran with the rugs, like, this is, you know.
Yeah. Oh, it's so hard. That's
not
the place.
You're not going to be selling rugs at a show. Like, who wants to buy a big ass
We're not the venue.
Well,
and then at the end of the day, like, that's why we have the autonomy over this stuff. It's like, you just say it's not a good fit. Yeah. I have one seller who they take photographs and then they print them on silk scarves. So it's their photographs. They live in Ottawa. I believe they're from India. And then the scarves are made in India and printed in India, but it's their photographs. So I let that go because I think that's their design.
Why are you printing them here, though?
Because they're it's a family thing. It's their family business. Like, they have the hookups there. Why wouldn't they? Why would you print it in Canada when it's going to cost you, like,
you don't care.
$20 a unit?
I mean, no different than, like, Spoon Flower. I mean, it's just
true.
A different...
printer.
It's just in the U.S.
Yeah.
Right? What's really the difference?
You're still designing
outsourced.
It.
Yeah.
I think they have their hand in the product. They're
touching
the product.
Again, it's transparency, like, right? Yeah. They can answer your questions, and then we have to decide if that's legit or not.
Yeah. It's pretty much just not, like, you're just... As long as you are part of it.
Yeah.
In that way. If they're just, like, sending you boxes of, like, wooden dolls, and you're just selling them on them.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, I got a new
parcel. Wooden doll market is powering. Yeah, that's true. But, yeah. Okay, is there anything else you like?
So mad. It's like I'm losing my mojo right now.
You should have invited us.
I have such mojo, such good mojo normally.
I'm just kidding. How are you texting me?
Well, this is like a double, double. How are you texting episode? Me?
I wasn't, I hadn't started the episode yet.
Oh. Yeah. How are you even?
Yeah.
Hey, come
back. Yeah. So, to summarize, we really like each other, and we all of our friends have Etsy stores.
Yes, that's basically it. And
do what you love, love what you do. Can you, Kim? Can you hand letter that?
Mine right now.
Hand letter that. We're gonna make T-shirts and lose $1 per minute.
For passive income. We'll do a digital.
That is not passive. Oh, okay, okay.
Digital.
No. Digital.
Everything
making money while we sleep.
Everything is passive.
Yeah, I feel like that is a pretty original quote. I'm gonna look up. Do what you love, love what you do. You've never heard that before, have you?
I'm TMing that right now. Yeah.
I am TMing it right now. I can Google it and record at the same time. Well, thank you for taking the time to speak to me today. I think we might have another podcast later on this evening after we've got up to my room to get my teeny tiny bottle of wine.
You never know.
And I'll see you at karaoke!
Yes!